Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. And we're going to be starting a new series and we're going to be diving into the offerings that was instructed unto Israel to give in the Torah. And we're going to dive into them and see what we can learn from those offerings and what they will teach us today. We no longer offer animal sacrifices anymore, but we as believers are still instructed to bring a sacrifice unto Yahweh. So we're going to dive into these scriptures and see what we can glean and learn out of these offerings on how we are to approach Yahweh, who is a holy God, which means he is set apart. He is set apart from all other deities that people on this earth worship, and he wants to be worshiped in that set apart manner. And that is why he gives us instructions on how to worship him, because by his instructions, we worship him in this set apart manner. It keeps us from falling into the trap of worshiping him like the nations worship their gods. And so he desires to be worshiped in this holy manner. It sets him apart. It makes him different than the other gods of this world. So I want to start off with a quick scripture here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. It says, through him, speaking of Yeshua, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. So we as believers in Yeshua, we are not bringing an animal sacrifice. We are bringing a sacrifice that is the fruit of our lips. So when we come before him and we offer up praise out of our lips, we speak forth praise and we worship him with the words that come out of our mouth. That is the fruit of our lips. So that is our sacrifice. So as we read through and we study his offerings, we are simply taking the concept of what they were doing with the animal, the sacrifice of the animals, and we're replacing that with the fruit of our lips. Some versions call it the bulls of our lips. So they would sacrifice that animal. Well, when we offer him praise, our words that we speak, the words of thanksgiving, the words of praise unto him, are as bulls. So that is as that animal that is being sacrificed on that altar. So we're going to go ahead and start here in Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 2. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when any man from among you brings an offering near to Yahweh, you shall bring your offering of animals from the herd or the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall bring it near, a male without blemish. He shall bring it near to the doorway of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before Yahweh. So the first thing we see here and that we're going to be talking about is the burnt offering. There are a total of six offerings that Israel was instructed, and the first one is the burnt offering. The burnt offering was also kind of like a free will offering. This was an offering that Israel would bring unto Yahweh as just something to bring a pleasing aroma unto Yahweh, something to draw near unto Yahweh. So this was not an offering that had to do with their sin or their guilt or as a peace offering or a thanksgiving offering. We will dive into those later as we move through this series. The burnt offering was meant as something that they would offer just to draw near unto their God. Also, it was brought as a means to bring something that was pleasing unto Yahweh. So if they had a desire inside them to bring something that would be pleasing unto Yahweh, they would bring the burnt offering. So it speaks to us as believers. If we love our God, if we love Him, if we love Yahweh, there should be a desire inside of us to want to bring something unto Him that is pleasing unto Him, something that brings delight unto Him that He finds delight in. It is our way of drawing near unto Him. So we're not bringing the animal, but we're bringing the fruit of our lips, right? So we're bringing Him our praise. So our praise, the fruits of our lips, is a burnt offering unto Him. It is a way in which we draw near unto Him. So when we bring Him our praise and we bring Him our worship and our thanksgiving, we draw near unto Him. And that is something that is a sweet aroma unto Him that He finds pleasure. Now, the first thing we're going to see here in this passage is that their instruction was to bring something of the flock that was without blemish. Remember, He is a holy God who is just and righteous, who has no fault in Him. There is no darkness in Him. There is no evil in Him. There is no sin in Him. So He requires them to bring something to Him that was without blemish. They were not allowed to bring the worst of their flock unto Him. They were required to bring Him the best of their flock that was without blemish. So when we think about coming before Him with the bulls of our lips, with our thanksgiving and our praise and our worship, our goal and our aim and our efforts should be to bring Him the best that we have. Not to give Him the bare minimum, not to give Him the least that we can give Him and still satisfy Him and ultimately in our hopes maybe get what we want from Him while giving Him the least that we can give Him. It should be the other way around, that we're coming and we're giving Him the best that we have because we love Him. Now, He will repay us and He will pour out His love and His kindness and His goodness upon us when we draw near unto Him. But our goal and our aim and our desire should be to give Him the best that we have without there being a requirement for Him to give back unto us. Now, we are to come unto Him and to draw near unto Him with an expectation from Him. But we should be willing to do it without the necessity of having something coming back unto us. So we are to bring Him our best. But also when we think about without blemish, we need to think about our hearts and where we are at and how we're living and what we are doing. Are we aiming and desiring to live a life that is without blemish? Or are we living in compromise? Are we purposefully doing that which is not pleasing unto Him in our behavior and in our actions, and still coming to Him and wanting to give Him the bulls of our lips, the praise of our lips, but yet we're not living for Him. We're not following Him. We're not being obedient unto His word. Is that going to be a sacrifice that He accepts, that is pleasing unto Him? Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. And this is talking about King Saul when he disobeyed Yahweh's commandment. And he decided that he was going to keep some of the spoils of their victory and offer them as a sacrifice unto Yahweh instead of obeying Yahweh's voice. Scripture says, and Samuel said, As Yahweh has much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of Yahweh. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. So when Saul had disobeyed Yahweh's commandment, this is Samuel's statement unto Saul. He says, what is Yahweh's desire? What is the ultimate thing that he wants from us? Does he want our sacrifices? Does he want the bulls of our lips? Or is the thing that he desires more is us being obedient unto his voice, us being obedient unto his commandments, the instructions in which he has given us. And Samuel tells him to obey is better than sacrifice. Yahweh wants both. He wants us to obey him. He wants us to walk in obedience to his word, and he wants the sacrifice. But we don't want to fall into the trap of Saul, where we begin to offer and have delight in giving him the sacrifice while forsaking the obedience unto his word. Saul was rejected because he brought a sacrifice unto Yahweh, but he disobeyed God's voice. So we as believers have to be careful about falling into this same trap as Saul, where we just get caught up in bringing him our praise and bringing him the fruit of our lips and bringing him that sacrifice, but yet we are forsaking the obedience of walking in his ways, walking in obedience unto his word, because ultimately he desires the obedience over the sacrifice. It's not meaning that we also fall into the trap of just seeking just to obey him and forsaking the sacrifice. It's just that he wants the obedience, and that is what is more important. We can't forsake the obedience, and we also can't forsake the sacrifice. We need to be bringing him the bulls of our lips, the praise of our lips, because that is what's going to draw us near unto him. The praises of our lips are a sweet smelling aroma that arises unto him. So let's look at Malachi chapter 3. And this is the prophet speaking unto the priest at that time, speaking of what Yahweh is going to do in the priest's heart, because they had been doing that which was wrong. Israel and Judah had fallen into this trap of not walking in obedience unto Yahweh. They were bringing sacrifices, and we see passages of scripture where Yahweh says, your sacrifices are not a delight unto me because your hearts are far from me, because they were not walking in his ways, but they were still bringing the sacrifice, and it was not something that was pleasing unto Yahweh. So Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says Yahweh of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a smelter's fire and like fuller's soap. And he will sit as a smelter and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so they may present to Yahweh offerings in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to Yahweh as in the ancient days and as in former years. So here is a prophet speaking of what Yahweh is going to do, what the word of Yahweh is. And he is saying, I am going to come as one who purifies, And I am going to refine the priest. I am going to refine the sons of Levi so that they may present unto me offerings that are in righteousness, so that they will be pleasing unto me. That needs to be our prayer. That needs to be the focus and the goal of our life, is allowing Yahweh to be our refiner, to be our purifier, so he can purify us. He can get rid and remove the things that are in our lives that are not pleasing unto him, so we can be pure, we can be spotless, and we can be without blemish. Our ultimate goal in life should be striving to be that one that is without blemish, so we can bring that offering that is without blemish. So we're yielding ourselves unto him, allowing him to refine us so that we can be refined like gold and silver, to walk in his ways, to walk in his righteousness, so that our offerings will be pleasing unto him, so that the words that we speak unto him will be pleasing unto him. And scripture also talks about that we are a living sacrifice as well. So the way we live, when we walk in his ways, when we crucify our flesh and we die to the desires of our flesh, and we cease from being conformed into the image of this world and yielding ourselves over to the thoughts of this world, and we no longer serve the mind of our flesh, and we serve him, and we search his ways out, and we learn his ways, and we walk in his ways, and we're obedient unto his ways and unto his righteousness, our life becomes a living sacrifice unto him. It becomes a sweet smelling aroma unto Yahweh. So his desire is to purify us and to refine us, because he wants us to be that pleasing aroma. He wants us to be able to offer unto him offerings in righteousness, offerings of righteousness unto him, if we will allow him to purify us and to cleanse us. And he does this by the work of his Holy Spirit. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 8. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. This is speaking of Yeshua. Yahweh's desire was not for the sacrifices, right? And the sacrifices were pointing us unto Yeshua, okay? The blood of the bulls and goats could not remove sin, only the blood of Yeshua. But Yeshua speaking says, behold, I have come to do your will. So we see with Yeshua, what was his purpose? To do the will of his Father. He walked in perfect obedience unto his Father. And of course, this is also speaking of the fact that his will, the will of his Father, was for him to die upon that cross for us, so that we could have the removal of sin, so that we could draw near unto Yahweh. So back to verse 9 here. Then he said, behold, I come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua Messiah once for all. So we have been sanctified. We have been cleansed from all that which defiled us, all that which made us unclean, all that which prohibited us from drawing near unto Yahweh. We have been cleansed. We have been made worthy so we can boldly draw near unto Yahweh. So we can bring the fruit of our lips unto Yahweh. We can bring the praises of our lips unto our God. Now let's look at verse 11. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, set down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies were put as a footstool for his feet. For by one offering, he has perfected all those who are being sanctified. So here in this verse, it speaks of the fact that we have been perfected, those who are being sanctified. So he cleansed us, he sanctified us by dying on that tree. But we see in verse 14, we are still being sanctified, or we are still being set apart from the world. We're still being transformed into the image of Yeshua. Our instructions and our goal is to walk as Yeshua walked. We are to imitate Yeshua. He was our example. He came and lived and walked on this earth, setting unto us an example of how we are to live, how we are to walk. And we have been called to imitate that. So we have been called to no longer be conformed into the image of this world, but to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. So this is a process of where we are no longer walking as the world walks, but now we are walking as Yeshua walked. And that process is a process of sanctification. So we are being sanctified. We are learning what it means to walk as Yeshua walked, to imitate him, to walk in obedience unto him. So we are being sanctified. So that is our goal, to bring that spotless offering unto Yahweh. Our goal is not that we are required to be in perfection now, but our goal, and we should be living a life that is being sanctified. We should not be rejecting sanctification. We should be embracing it. We reject sanctification when we reject obedience unto him and we willfully do what we know we should not be doing. Let's look at verse 15. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, say the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart and on their mind, and I will write them," he then says, "and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." So we think about what he spoke concerning the sons of Levi. With the prophet, he says, "I am going to come and I am going to purify the sons of Levi. I am going to refine them." And now he's speaking of us, the covenant that he is making with us, upon us who have been sanctified by Yeshua and are being sanctified. He says, "My covenant is that I'm going to put my laws upon their heart and upon their mind." So he is taking his law, his commandments, the instructions that he gave Israel, that he wrote on stone. Now he is writing them upon our hearts, upon your heart and upon my heart. He has written them. And our sins and our lawless deeds, he remembers no more. But his law is now written upon our hearts. He is refining our hearts. He is giving us a new heart. As one scripture says, he has circumcised our hearts. He has cleansed our hearts. He has sprinkled us with clean water. He has taken that old stony heart out, that heart that desired to walk in what pleased our flesh and that sought conformity unto this world and did whatever was pleasurable. He is removing that heart. He is cutting out that heart. He is cutting out the desires that we have, the addictions that we have, and he is now giving us a new heart. He is giving us a heart of flesh, he calls it, a heart that is soft, that is tender, that is open to receive the conviction of his Holy Spirit, a heart that has his law written upon it, a heart that has a desire to walk in obedience unto his word, a heart that is and desires to be and to imitate Yeshua, to walk as Yeshua walked, that loves his righteousness, a heart that loves obedience unto his word, and also has the power and the strength and the ability to walk in obedience unto his word. That old stony heart rejected God's word. It rejected walking in obedience to God's word. It rejected the idea of being conformed into the image of Yeshua, of imitating Yeshua, as walking as Yeshua walked. So he comes to purify our hearts and to write his law upon our hearts so that we can be that pure, refined priest that is walking in righteousness, so that we can bring that offering that is without blemish unto him. And the purpose of this is so that we can bring an offering unto him that is pleasing unto him. So now let's look at Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 17. He says, "Then he shall tear it by its wings, but he shall not separate it. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar on the wood, which is on the fire. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to Yahweh." So here is a passage that is speaking and stating that this burnt offering that the priest was offering, that the people of Israel brought the priest to offer, that as this smoke rose from the altar, as this sacrifice was burning upon this altar, and this smoke is building up and it's rising off of this altar, that it was a soothing aroma, a pleasing aroma unto Yahweh. It brought him delight. So as we, as a refined priesthood, are bringing him our burnt offerings, the praises of our lips, it is as this smoke that is rising from our mouths, rising unto the heavenlies, unto his throne, and he smells this sweet, soothing, pleasing aroma, and it brings delight unto him. He takes delight in the praises of our lips. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." So here we're seeing that Yeshua, who gave of himself, when he died upon that cross, he was a fragrant aroma unto God. That sacrifice was. But we, as children of God, as believers of Messiah, what does he instruct us to be? To be imitators of God. To walk in love just as Messiah did. So we are to imitate Messiah. We are to do as he did. And his obedience unto God, unto his Father, of dying upon that cross was a sweet smelling aroma unto his Father. So when we imitate Messiah, when we walk as he walked, when we walk in love, our life is a pleasing aroma unto Yahweh. So our goal is to walk in love. All of the love hinges upon two commandments: love God and love people. It does not mean that we get rid of the law because of those two commandments. What he is saying is, if we are focused on doing that, and if we are doing that, then we are innately going to obey his commands. Because what his commands do and what his law does is instruct us on how to love people and how to love God. So his law teaches us that. If we have a desire to love people, then we should have a desire to see how his law instructs us and tells us how to love people. If we truly love God and want to love God, then we should dive into his law and see how he instructs us on how to love him. Because he lays it out for us. He tells us exactly how he wants to be loved. It's there. So if we desire to love him and we love him, we will seek out how he wants to be loved, and we will follow his commands on how to love him. And when we walk in this obedience and we become an imitator of him and do as he does and walk in his ways, our life becomes that pleasing aroma unto him. Now let's look at verse 3. We're going to see those things which are not a sweet smelling aroma unto him, those things in which he is going to reject. Okay, these are the things that we need to refine out of our lives in order to become that refined priesthood who brings offerings of righteousness. Okay, so verse 3. But sexual immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints, nor filthiness and foolish talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. So be careful of the words that you speak and the things that you say, because those things will affect your offering. Verse 5, for this you know with certainty, that no one sexually immoral or impure or greedy who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So those who are walking in those ways will receive the wrath of God. They are considered the sons of disobedience. Verse 7, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Refine yourselves, separate yourselves from this type of behavior, because you are a set apart priest. You are a sanctified priest, a holy priest. So do not partake with them. Verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of that light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. There is our instruction. We are not to walk in darkness anymore. That is our former behavior. We are now called to walk as children of the light. How do we walk in light? Scripture tells us that his Torah, that his law is light. He laid out his word and his commands and his instructions unto us as light unto us. So to be children of the light, we need to be children of his word. His word is light. When we walk in obedience to his word, we're walking in the light. But when we walk in disobedience and we reject it, we're walking in darkness. So we need to be children walking in the light, trying to learn. Here's the word, trying to learn. So we are in the process of learning what is pleasing to the Lord. You do not have to have it all figured out today. But your goal, your heart's desire, remember, He looks at the heart. He judges your heart. He can look at your heart and see, is this person trying to learn what is pleasing unto me? And to the person who is trying to learn what is pleasing unto him, to that person is sanctified. To that person has been cleansed. To that person, when they offer up the fruit of their lips, their sacrifice, the praises of their lips is a sweet smelling aroma unto him. And he takes delight in their offering. Now let's go back to Leviticus chapter 6 and look at one more thing regarding the offering. And this, we're going to start in verse 9. Command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law for the burnt offering. The burnt offering itself shall remain on the hearth on the altar all night until the morning. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. Now we're going to skip down to verse 12. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out, but the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. And he shall lay out the burnt offering on it and offer up and smoke the fat portions of the peace offerings on it. Fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar. It shall not go out. So the last thing I want to talk about regarding the burnt offering was this was a fire that they were to keep burning. The smell, the sweet smelling aroma from this altar was to continually rise unto the throne room of God. And that is his desire for us, is for our worship, for our offering to be a continual burning offering unto him. A continual desire inside of us to draw near unto him. A continual desire in us to live set apart, for our life to be that living sacrifice unto him. This is something that we're focused on doing on a continual basis at all times. It's not something that we're just focusing upon like one time a day, or one time a week, one day a week, but it is something that we're focused upon all day and every day of the week and every day of the year. That our desire is to draw near unto him continually, and that continually our life is a living sacrifice unto him, and that we continually offer up the praises of our mouths, of our praise unto him continually. That is his desire. That is what he takes delight in, and that is what he wants. And when we, as a set apart priest, we have been called to be a set apart priest. And when we begin to function as this priest in this role like this, we will find ourselves drawing near unto him, boldly coming into his presence. We're going to feel his delight over us. We're going to feel his love over us. We are going to know that we are in his presence. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.